Let's pray. Our Lord and God, we thank you for your word to us, that it speaks still today. In our busy lives, in our busy world, give us this time to hear you and hear you clearly, we ask, for your glory. Amen. Well, many years ago, I was asked to babysit for a family from church. And Caitlin and I, we thought it would be a good kind of way to dip our toes in the water as potential parents. And we took the opportunity. And I'm pleased to say we had a lovely night watching these two beautiful children. And as it was getting a bit late, I said to them, well, you two, I've had so much fun. I've had so much fun with you tonight, eating dinner and playing games. And now it's time for my favourite part of the day. Do you know what it is? It's time for bed. Yes. Well, these two beautiful children, they dissolved into excuses and tears and outright rebellion, actually. Now, what is it about kids and bedtime? We know that we need sleep, and as a parent myself now, I know how dire things can get if a nap is missed or if bedtime comes too late. But kids can't seem to get this in their head. What's objectively good and right for a young child, well, they do not want it. Why? Because where parents see an opportunity for rest, all the little one hears is no more play. So bedtime ends up being a battle. But now my perspective, I'm not a little child anymore, and my perspective has changed. See, when my head hits the pillow, each night I say the same prayer. And it's a prayer of relief. Thank you, God, that it's rest time. Now, today's passage in Luke 6 brings before us a good thing God has given his people, the Sabbath. But this good thing had been so misunderstood that the beauty of stopping once a week had morphed into a battleground of strict observance, of judgment, of burden. See, Sabbath was always a gift, but God's people were prone to misunderstanding. And we are prone to misunderstanding. We want to understand the Sabbath rightly. But you might notice this passage, Luke 6, is not a textbook. It's not a textbook on the Sabbath. So today, we're not going to go into the ins and outs of Sabbath observance for Christians. Now, here in Luke, as you could see on the screen, our main goal is to verify Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to fix our eyes on the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ. And as we learn about him through the lens of Sabbath, we are going to find a refreshing, relieving understanding of rest given to us by Jesus himself. And we'll find that the message of Jesus and the rest that he brings is good news for all of us. So let's go together through Luke 6. We're going to have 3 points this morning. First, we'll understand the Sabbath and the God who gave it to his people. Second, we are going to wrestle with our tendency to misunderstand. And finally, we're going to re-understand Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, and the rest that he gives. So if you've closed your Bibles, let's open back up again to Luke chapter 6. We're going to read the first few verses of our passage. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Well, the disciples, they have a snack while walking through a field. And what they're doing, it's not illegal or wrong in itself. It was okay to take a few grains, but the problem was they were doing it on the Sabbath. As you read into the history of Israel, you see when God forms the nation, he gives them laws and he gives them the Sabbath law. We're going to read from Exodus 20 to give us the context of where this law comes from. It's within the Ten Commandments. It sits as commandment number 4. Exodus 20, starting from verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your female or male servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then as Israel is given the commandments a second time in Deuteronomy, we have an extra line added, and this will be on the screen too. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. See, Egypt was a place of continuous labor, no rest. Only harsh slave drivers, always demanding more, increasing KPIs, more bricks, always more. Sound familiar? But now, as God's people, they are no longer slaves. Every week, Israel would down tools with work unfinished, with things still on the to-do list. And it would remind them who their God was, the creator who perfectly finished his work and who provided for them. And it would remind them he saved them out of slavery to a good life in a good land. See, in a world of endless toils, amidst growing crops and building society and raising families, rest made it into God's top 10 laws for his people. The landscape of the Jewish existence was one of space and margin, a day, a week of rest. Not mere survival, not slavery. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a good thing. God provides, God rescues, and he allows his people to rest. And in Christ for us, the rest is even more deep. Famously, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." See, rest is actually at the very heart of what Jesus came to do. He gives rest from proving ourselves worthy of God's favor, which we could never do. He gives us rest from trying to cultivate our own identity of be whoever you want to be, which becomes a burden. And God remains our creator, and he creates us anew in Christ. In him, we are no longer slaves to sin. So if you're longing for a rest, Jesus is good news for you. And God takes rest so seriously that he commands it for his people. It's a relief. We're just about to move to our second point, but I want to leave with this imagery. When God gave his people the Sabbath, it came with wrapping paper. It's a present, a gift, a good thing to be enjoyed. Let's move now to thinking about the misunderstandings that we are prone to. And we'll see that we are prone to misunderstand the Sabbath, but more than that, we might even misunderstand Jesus. See, the Sabbath was always a gift from God, but we know the Pharisees had misunderstood it entirely. See, when you read the Ten Commandments, where we get the Sabbath from, there's actually a whole lot of grey area when it comes to doing no work. What does it mean to do no work? Well, there's a question mark there. And the Pharisees had filled this gap with hundreds of rules. Seriously, literally hundreds. They were so concerned with doing no work that they made doing no work an impossible burden. Now, by simply taking some grain, rubbing it together, eating it, and discarding the waste, these disciples had broken 4 of the Pharisees' Sabbath rules. 4 rules in one movement. So no wonder they're up in arms with Jesus here and they question him. We're going to read his answer from verses 3 to 5 and verse 9. So they questioned Jesus, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And verse 9, Jesus said to them on another day, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" Now, Jesus doesn't give any wiggle room. His question comes with a razor-sharp problem for the Pharisees because their choice here is either to admit that their conclusions about what is lawful has gone beyond the law, or they need to denounce their beloved King David as a lawbreaker. They're in a bind. And you might notice they don't speak again in this passage. They shut their mouths. Jesus verifies himself as Lord of the Sabbath. This means he speaks with authority. He can say what the Sabbath really is about. And it all comes to a head when a man with a shriveled hand stands before the synagogue. See, the Pharisees, they're closely watching. Just like they closely watch the Sabbath laws, they closely watch to make sure Jesus doesn't break one of the rules. They would rather Jesus leave this man in his suffering. See how the gift of Sabbath has been totally misunderstood? But on the other hand, the Lord of the Sabbath, he sees a man in need and he brings life. And as he does that, he brings light to the purpose of the Sabbath, to do good and to bring life. In our house, many of you, you would have heard Matilda crying before. We've just had a new baby. And with our darling Matilda comes a lot of presents. A lot of presents. And we're blown away by the generosity of so many people. And Ezekiel, our toddler, he knows just what to do when he sees a present. He loves to open them up for Matilda. But the problem is, his favourite part of the present is the wrapping paper. He hasn't realised yet that the present really is the exciting thing. So he rips it open, he plays with the paper, and if it's got a ribbon, he's really excited about that. But he throws the present aside. He's not interested in what the paper holds. So these Pharisees, they've caught sight of the packaging, the Sabbath day. And maybe like some of you, they're really careful not to tear the paper. They take it off carefully. They love the paper. They hold on to that. But they'd taken that gift and actually discarded the principle behind it, the celebration of rest, of provision, of redemption that Sabbath was all about. They've missed the point. But when Jesus says he is the Lord of the Sabbath, there's actually a bigger problem going on here. Because the Pharisees, they haven't just misunderstood Sabbath, they've misunderstood the Lord who gave them the Sabbath. Their turning of the Sabbath into a day that would withhold good from this man, of a day that would stack up burdensome commands, it showed they didn't get the God behind the Sabbath. Their fixation on that wrapping paper meant they missed the gift inside. But more than that, they were out of step with the giver. The big thing to come away with this morning is Jesus' character as Lord of the Sabbath. Because we know this side of Jesus, that misunderstanding him is a bigger deal than misunderstanding the Sabbath. But because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, the way we understand Sabbath and rest shines a light on the way we truly understand Jesus. And I want to talk about two ways as Christians today that we could misunderstand God's gift. And the first is that Sabbath observation could become a burden. It's possible we miss the point, just like these Pharisees, when we think about rest and Sabbath and we load up our understanding with a list of do's and don'ts. Do this, do not do that. That's what rest is, that's what rest isn't. Some of us at church here have a history of strict Sabbath observance. We might remember it fondly, we might not. In fact, I know one older person who still feels guilty if she's seen by someone from our church carrying a Woolworths bag on a Sunday because you're not allowed to shop on a Sunday. And it's kind of laughable, but really, that's sad. That's sad to me that the Sabbath, the gift, has become something that just brings guilt. If the way we think about Sabbath starts to seem like slavery all over again, well, we better watch out because we don't live in Egypt. The Lord of the Sabbath brings good news. And we risk missing Jesus' generous and life-giving and gracious ministry. Sabbath is meant to be about celebration. So we don't want to turn rest into a burden. But many of us won't be in that space at all, actually. We'll be the polar opposite. Because this side of Jesus, we're in danger of seeing rest and Sabbath as something just to be cast off, to be put aside. We love that word freedom. I'm free to do whatever I want. We say salvation is by grace alone, so don't tell me I need to do anything. Don't tell me I need to rest. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. We have a knee-jerk reaction, I think, against the Sabbath because we buck against that idea the Pharisees had. And compulsory anything starts to seem like a threat to us living under grace alone. But we would be foolish to think that though Jesus frees us from working for our salvation, he wouldn't allow us to rest from our day jobs. Or he wouldn't give us a life that enjoys stopping regularly. To cast aside rest, even a weekly pattern of rest, is like leaving a Christmas present forgotten, under the tree, unopened, never enjoyed. It's a real shame. And I've been meditating on this a lot in this past week. If salvation is by grace alone, nothing that I do or do not do will change my standing before God. We believe that to our very core. So, Dave, I've been asking myself, why do you have so much trouble stopping? Why is it so hard for you to rest? Rest sounds like a silly idea to our culture of do more, be more, see more. And we're standing in good cultural company at the moment because do you know who else hated on this idea of rest? It was the Roman Empire. They said Sabbath is a block to productivity. When productivity's got to be one of the big gods of our age today. So if we do not or cannot let ourselves rest, we might have Jesus confused for a taskmaster or an Egyptian slave driver. Or disturbingly, we might have let the idol of productivity creep on in. We can see producing at work or making the most of our day off as our end goal. Making sure we break from our day job, but we work just as hard at ticking off bucket list items on a rest day. And it can become a bit burdensome. And this can all happen because doing more and seeing more and being more has just become core to our self-identity. It's possible to treat the Sabbath like the Pharisees did, as a burden. It's possible to do the Roman thing and cast it aside. But both of those errors miss Jesus. And they miss the gospel, which has rest at its heart. Now, that's a lot about misunderstanding, a lot about the ways we can go wrong. Now I want to think finally as we close about re-understanding the Sabbath, re-understanding Jesus in our third point. Let's step into the synagogue with Jesus once more and read verses 9 to 11. Jesus said to them, "I ask, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. If we want to get the Sabbath right, we need to get Jesus right. The Lord of the Sabbath came to do good and save life. If you find yourself unable to rest, if a day off is always planned for next week but always gets overrun, Jesus, your Lord, says to you, you need to rest. It's important to note here, he doesn't cast Sabbath aside. In fact, we know Jesus observed the Sabbath every week. But in his command to rest, don't imagine that Jesus' command will be more doing. Now, in him we find true rest. He's the one who took away our sin when we were powerless to do anything about it. Rest is relief. And we find it in Jesus. See, the gospel of Jesus doesn't demand that you work, work, work for God's favor. It proclaims that Jesus died for you while you were still a sinner. And if you're like me, taking rest is going to be complex for you. Maybe you have young children, or you travel for work, or you're a shift worker. It's hard with all the elements of life to really pause and rest in God, because term time rolls on, nappies need changing, work piles up. We can all find 100 reasons why it's hard to rest. But it is worth doing the hard work of making it happen. It seems counterintuitive, doesn't it, to have to work in order to rest? But most of you will know taking a day off is far harder than going to work. So you have to rest, but praise God, you get to rest. And as we do, we remember the Lord of our rest, Jesus Christ. It's not as if all our time is God and we just shove off this little part of me time. Jesus is Lord of all of life, and he has a say in the way we spend our rest. Our rest is about the Lord, honoring him, seeking him. If we forget that, it's easy to become a slave to the days off, filling them so chock full of recreation that we would never rest. Because Jesus is Lord of everything, including our days off. Now, if the way we rest should line up with Jesus and his gospel, if the gospel is good news, well, I want us to consider rest now as mission. You might never have thought this way. Rest as mission. Imagine if as Christians, we were all well rested. Imagine if in a community where calendars are jam-packed, we had energy and space to catch up with someone. Imagine if we were able to leave work unfinished in order to recharge each week. Imagine if we were comfortable to pass up opportunities to do good, exciting things and miss out because we acknowledged we didn't have time or space. And imagine if all of that wasn't because we had some great way of looking at life, but because we had seen and known Jesus, who gives us rest. What would that say to someone who is looking in on our lives? See, Kingborough is absolutely chock full of people who are barely keeping up with the pace of life, who feel the burden of more impossible to carry. And they may well be wondering if something's wrong with them because they just can't keep up. But resting as mission sends a bunch of messages about the Lord of the Sabbath. It says these things. Jesus gives rest. God does not demand more, always more. Identity is given to us as God's children. It says, we are not slaves, not to our workplace, not to our appetite for experience, not to our finances. We are free to stop. That is such good news. It really is. Now, resting is good for us. It will increase our productivity. There's no doubt about that. Resting is good for Kingborough because as we rest, they will get to know the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus doesn't bring a list of demands, he brings rest. And if we work hard at resting, our lives will begin to broadcast that truth. Finally, let's consider resting together. If we could be a community that rested together, our witness would be amplified, wouldn't it? Imagine a community with space around the margins. Well, the primary time we gather together is on a Sunday. And lots of work does go into preparing, doesn't it? Preparing the music, the sermon, the kids' programs downstairs. It all takes work. But as we gather, we celebrate the rest God gives us. And as we gather to rest under God's word, it says to us, your salvation is a gift. Rest in Jesus. Imagine if we prioritise this time together so we could enjoy that rest together rather than rushing off or only coming when something else doesn't come up. Imagine each of us prioritising a time of rest under God's word each Sunday. So much so that we were all here glorying in the God who gives rest. When we worship in the gathering, gathered together, we rest in God together. And that's a powerful witness to our hearts and a powerful witness to the world. And you know, in our busy, crazy culture, if we're going to rest well, we're going to need to support each other in it. We're going to need the Lord of the Sabbath to lead us. Now, this is the start of the conversation. This is one passage that shows us who Jesus is. It's not a textbook on resting. I'm no expert, and as a family, we are exploring what it means to rest all over again with a newborn baby in the house. But I do know this. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and his vision for rest is good news for me, for us, and for the world. Let's speak to him now. Lord Jesus, you are Lord of everything, and you're a good Lord who gives good gifts and allows us as your people to rest. Thank you for your work, which is finished on the cross and secures our future for us. Help us to rest in you. And through our resting, would we be a light to the nations, a light to the nation, a light to Kingborough. Lord, we pray this for your glory, and we know it is for our good. Amen.